journey through the Psalms, you probably thought what I thought. Okay, these are going to be good. You know, they're the songs. They're the songs of David. We go to the Psalms when we have issues, when we want to get connected with God. We go to learn how to praise him. But they're just, the Psalms are just that and much more. And we're going to see this today. Today we're going to be going through Psalm 69, titled David and the Messiah. This is a very interesting one. It's a lengthy psalm. It's 36 verses. We're going to attempt to get through it today. And there's going to be some times where we kind of move along pretty fast. Because as you can imagine, 36 verses, it's a lot to cover. But we are going to be stopping along the way for some key points. The psalm is about David. David, the king of Israel. It's about David at some point in his life. We don't know exactly when. But we do know at this point of David's life, he was at a low point. He was in the valley. Things were not going well. He was being unfairly treated. He was being harassed. People were out to get him. It was not good for David. And we know that David, we know of David as a psalmist, right? He's the guy that wrote most of the psalms that we have. It's ascribed that David is the writer of psalms when we talk about it in rabbinic literature. But he's a psalmist, he's a warrior, he's a king. But he doesn't get enough credit with one other thing that he did, which is as someone who prophesies. David prophesied. He was a prophet. And this psalm is heavily prophetic and heavily messianic in that way. I'm going to just tell you, I go through this every week. I know I say, oh, this is a great one. Check this one out. But Psalm 69 really blew me away in a good way. And because it's a very powerful psalm, and I'll explain why as we go through. First, there are several references in this psalm to Yeshua, the Messiah. There are several direct references about Yeshua as the Messiah. And there also are some very indirect references as well. And we're going to see how many times in the Brit Chadashah, in the New Testament, Psalm 69 is either quoted directly or it's implied. It's even implied in other areas of the Bible too. It's referenced heavily. The second reason I'm so blown away with doing Psalm 69 is what struck me as I was going through the psalm is how God uses David, who is the writer of the song. As flawed as David was, and the Bible talks all about how flawed David was, we have this whole account of this. It's not a secret. What's interesting is, as flawed as David was, God uses him to prophesy. God uses him for so many wonderful things, to speak about the Messiah to come. And there's going to be moments in this psalm, and you're going to see it, where David is completely, as I would call it, in the flesh. He is not thinking spiritually. He just wants revenge, or he's mad, or he's not really thinking with God's mindset. He's thinking with his mindset. So you're going to see moments where David is in the flesh, but then you're going to see moments as well where David is just being used completely as a vessel for God, where God is speaking through David. And what struck me is, isn't that like our lives today? There are times in your life where you could say, man, God is just using me in so many great ways. I just feel so connected to God. I feel like he spoke to me. I feel like he used me to speak to that person, right? You've had those experiences? And then there's those experiences where you're like, ooh, I'm really far away from God, where I'm not doing anything right, or I'm really not doing the right things that I need to do, and I know that. So you're struggling. There's this tension in our lives. There was this tension with David. On one hand, David was in the flesh, but on the other hand, he was prophesying. And on one hand, we're in the flesh in our lives. And on one hand, we're doing some wonderful things for God. So we're going to see that with this psalm. But overall, it's a beautiful piece and a beautiful picture of man, David, and God in the Messiah. That's why it's called David and the Messiah. So we're going to be going through a lot of the scripture here today. Let's begin together. Psalm 69, verses 1, 2, and 3. I'll read. David begins, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying out, my throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. So that's how he starts this psalm out. Not in a good place, in fact, in a very bad place. He begins in distress. He's kind of all over the place in the psalm, but he's very hurt and he's very broken. He comes back to this distress a little bit later, and the psalm does jump around, and I'm going to jump around today when we go through this psalm. So just keep your mind on the psalm and keep your Bible open. We're going to jump now and revisit this distress that he has again, this familiar refrain, in Psalm 69. I'm going to start again in verse 13. So listen to these words. David continues, "But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God. In the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good, your chesed is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to my soul, redeem me. Ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My foes are all known to you." He just kind of lets it all hang out, doesn't he? He's really articulate, I'll give him that. And he's in a lot of distress. And he says, "In my distress, God, deliver me." Now, there's a lot of things going on. Verse 13 may have sounded a bit familiar to you. It's actually part of a piece of liturgy that we have called Matovu. And Matovu is this opening prayer that you say in the morning before you get to all the heavy prayers. And you say it as you come into the synagogue, as you walk across the threshold of the synagogue, and it's to prepare you for the prayer service. And so to me, this is interesting because these words of David were vulnerable, were real, and how fitting as we begin our day before we've had this experience with God, when many times we're coming to him distressed, we're coming to him hurting, we're coming to him feeling like he's not there, and we're just ready, we're coming vulnerable, open, not closed, but seeking him and crying out to him as David did in Psalm 69. So we find ourselves, I think, in these positions as well. Now, with all that in mind, let's go back to Psalm 69. I'm going to read verses 5 and 6 now. "O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me, O God, O Lord God of hosts. Let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel." Now, David is being honest with God here. He has sinned. He has messed up in his life. And he knows the wrong that he has done, and he doesn't want to make others stumble. He has enough sense to know, I'm a bad example right now, but I'm praying, God, that I'm not going to make other people stumble. You know, we're supposed to be a light to people as followers of Yeshua. We're supposed to be a light. We're supposed to represent the Lord to people, and that means in our conduct as well as our speech. And when we're not doing that, we can have the opposite effect towards people. And so David had enough sense to say, I'm not doing that right now. I'm not living the right way, at least at that portion in the psalm. And he says, don't let other people stumble, Lord, because of what I'm doing. This is an honest and a heartfelt prayer. And really, may we all feel this way at times. Because as much as you and I want to be on the mountaintop, everything's going great, and we're totally with the Lord all the time, there are times when we're struggling, when we're in distress, maybe even when we're backsliding, and we need to be sensitive and open that we are effective to people, and we can be effective not in a good way and potentially make other people stumble because of our sins. Now, I know I jumped around a lot. I was setting the stage for David's mood here. You can tell his mood. But in the middle of all of that, all the scriptures we've read, all of the distress David's going through, guess what? He starts prophesying about the Mashiach, about Yeshua. Now let's go through some of that. Verse 4, back to verse 4 of Psalm 69. In the middle of all this, now I want you to catch that. We've jumped around and we're going back now, but we're going in the middle of all of this distressful talk by David. All of a sudden, he comes out with things like this. Verse 4, more in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mightier are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What did I steal? Must I now restore? When we look at Yeshua, Yeshua was hated without cause. When he's speaking in the book of John to his disciples, let's read what he says here. John chapter 15, if you go to John chapter 15, we'll start with verse 18. Yeshua says, if the world hates you, talking to his disciples, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. And then if we drop down to John 15, 23, whoever hates me, Yeshua talking, hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. Guess where that's from? Psalm 69. It's also interesting that David says, written in their Torah, because that's not part of Torah, that's part of the Psalms. However, when we use the word Torah, many times it can be the first five books, but it can also be all of God's word. So this is what it's talking about here. So Yeshua is quoting David in Psalm 69. David prophetically speaking what the Messiah would then utter hundreds of years later. Now let's go back to Psalm 69. Remember, the psalm bounces back and forth between David and Yeshua. Psalm 69, verse 7. For it is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the talk of all those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. So this is David speaking, but also David prophesying. In verse 8, he's saying he's become a stranger to his people. Who's his people? Israel, the Jewish people. We know Yeshua was a stranger to his people, and even today, Yeshua is a stranger to his people. The majority of the Jewish people in the world do not yet believe in Yeshua as the Messiah. So we see this played out. Verse 9, the first part, zeal for your house has consumed me. Where else do we hear that? Now we go to the book of John, chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. We look at this scene that happens. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Yeshua went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them out of all the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. They remembered Psalm 69 when he did this, when he turned over the tables in the temple. Now, if we go to Psalm 69 and we continue in verse 9, the second part, this is like chock full of prophecy. The second part says, the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about Yeshua in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 15, verses 1, 2, and 3. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Messiah did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. This is where the Apostle Paul is now quoting Psalm 69 to refer to the Messiah Yeshua. So one after the other, we see parallels between what David is writing and going through, and what Yeshua does during his earthly ministry. Now let's go to another key passage of Psalm 69 because it continues. Verse 20 of Psalm 69. Reproaches have broken my heart, so I'm in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food. For my thirst, they gave sour wine to drink. Let their own table then before them become a snare, and when they are at peace, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and make their loins tremble, continually. There's three distinct things here that I want to point out. First thing, verse 20. The reproaches of this person. This person is receiving reproaches, okay, to where he looks for pity, he looks for people to help him, but nobody's there. Everybody's abandoned this person, right? David is describing it to himself, but he's also prophesying about the future. And we see in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, who himself was a prophetic prophet who prophesied about Messiah, we see he speaks of a suffering servant who would come and save Israel from their sins. And of course, we know this is Yeshua, who came 2,000 years ago to do that. And we look at Isaiah 53:3, and I want you to listen to the wording here. He, the suffering servant, Isaiah 53, verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. This sounds like the Psalm 69 figure, and it is. And it is also prophesying about Yeshua. Okay, next, Psalm 69, verse 21. If we go back to that, it says some key things here. They give this person, it says in verse 21, they gave me poison for food, and for my thirst gave me sour wine to drink. That's very specific. Focus on those two key word choices here, poison and sour wine. First, the Hebrew word used here for poison in Psalm 69 is rosh, and it means gall, venom, bitter, or poisonous. That's where we get the translation poison, but it means gall. When Yeshua is being crucified, we read this in Matthew 27, verse 34. They offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. Now I want you to go back to the other term, sour wine, and then go to Luke chapter 23, verse 36. There's a few places it talks about this, but I'm going to go right here to Luke 23, 36. The soldiers also mocked him, Yeshua, coming up and offering him sour wine. As they actually offered him sour wine, same thing as Psalm 69. So we see this over and over, the terminology. Now we go back to Psalm 69 and we go to verses 22 and 23. As I told you, we're moving fast. There's a lot to cover here today. Verses 22 and 23 say, let their own table before them become a snare. And when they are at peace, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and make their loins tremble continually. So if we look in the book of Romans again, when we see the Apostle Paul, he's giving all of this discourse in Romans 9, 10, and 11 about his people, the Jewish people. And there's a whole lot to say here, which we don't have time to do. But the gist of it is, Israel is being blinded spiritually to the Messiah. He's talking about this 2,000 years ago. We could say the same thing today. Israel is temporarily being blinded to the Messiah. And we pick up in Romans chapter 11, verse 7. Apostle Paul writing this. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave the spirit of stupor, so eyes that would not see, ears that would not hear, down to this very day. And David says, Psalm 69, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see and bend their backs forever. He's, again, quoting from Psalm 69, a heavily messianic and Yeshua-centered psalm. But Paul goes on to say, and I have to mention this, the blindness is temporary. It's not forever. We don't have time to read all that. But he is definitely quoting Yeshua, quoting Psalm 69, or ascribing Psalm 69 to Yeshua. So we see over and over again this prophetic utterances from David, and we see the fulfillment in Yeshua 2,000 years ago. But we can't forget about David. We got to jump back to David for a minute because, again, it's like a seesaw. It goes back and forth. Now we're back to David. He's back to distress. Let's go to verses now 24 to 29. And listen to what David is saying here. Pour out your indignation upon them. This is the people that are doing him harm. Pour out your indignation upon them and let your burning anger overtake them. May their camp become a desolation. Let no one dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom you have struck down. And they recount the pain of those you have wounded. Add to them punishment upon punishment. May they have no acquittal from you. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Let them be not enrolled among the righteous. But I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. David is back to complaining to God and really asking for God to do something about it and kind of going a little further and getting pretty angry and in the flesh. But you can hear his hurt. You can hear his pain. What's interesting about this to me is David was... We like to put David on a pedestal, and yes, he prophesied. He did so many great things. He wrote so many great psalms. He was a man after God's own heart, but he was a terrible sinner. And what we can see here very clearly in Psalm 69 is the frailty of David, where he kind of ends, or where he's prophesying, he's loving God, he's doing all these things, but there's a certain point where we see David's sin. And the psalm is actually... And what hit me too is the psalm is actually a contrast between the frail King David and the non-sinning, I don't know the terminology, but the perfect spotless lamb King Messiah. It's a contrast to us. Even though David is putting himself in this position and he's saying all these things and Yeshua said it upon himself, there's only a certain point that David can go to before his humanness kicks in, his fallen nature kicks in, and we can see it. Can't we see it about ourselves every day when we're living our lives? But the beautiful thing is the Messiah goes further. The Messiah is perfect. The Messiah doesn't stop. Thank goodness we have a Messiah that doesn't sin, that doesn't fall short like David or like us, but he is perfect and he continues on the task that God had for him. It's a beautiful reminder about the frailty of man and the perfectness of our Messiah. But like so many times in the Psalms, David doesn't stay this way. He doesn't stay distressed. And this is also a lesson for you and I. When nothing is going right and we want to just give up, we want to lose hope, we want to curse God and die, you know, which is what everybody told Job to do. When we want to do all those things, David doesn't give in to that temptation. Good for him. He ends up having a different perspective. He doesn't stay downcast, dejected, broken. And we start to see that in verse 30 of Psalm 69. So let's read a few verses, beginning in verse 30. David said, remember, this is the same guy that was like, kill all my enemies, they're terrible, and I'm in a lot of distress and pain. Here we go. Verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. We saw that in our Haftarah. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. So David's poured out his heart to God in Psalm 69, and he got it out of his system. Sometimes we need to do that, don't we? We got to get it out of our system. And now he feels better, and his perspective has changed. Thank God. Goodness, the Lord is there to hear us and hear our complaining many times and hear our agony. And he listens and he's so patient with us. And so David's perspective has changed. He feels better and he's able to praise God. But as the psalm closes, there's one more thing that David prophesies about, one more prophecy to make. David ends the psalm with a look forward to a future kingdom of God. Now let's go to the last verses here. Psalm 69, verses 34, 35, and 36. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them, for God will save Zion and build up the cities of Judah. And let me just stop here. We pray for that today, right now, as the rockets are falling in Israel, Lord. We pray for you to save Zion and build up the cities of Judah. Amen. And people shall dwell there and possess it. The offspring of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. Beautiful. There will be a day when everything that moves in heaven, on earth, and in the seas will praise the Lord, as Psalm 69 says. And those who love the name of the Lord, many of them shall dwell in Zion, dwell securely in Zion with the Lord. So Psalm 69 is so good. It's all over the place. I hope you appreciated that. And we went through it fast, but it's so raw and it's so honest. And I think it's so indicative of and representative of the Psalms. You know, many times we like to sugarcoat things, make everything so nice, especially when, and I'm not knocking it, but when we read things in children's books about the Lord, it's always so pleasant for the kids. But, you know, we're adults here and we need to see the real. And the real is all throughout Scripture. David being raw, David being honest, it shows us that we can be raw and honest with God, that we can be real and open with him. It also shows us the back and forth David had in his life, even within the psalm, between doing good and messing up and sinning. Anytime we get discouraged that we're on the other side, the fleshly side, there is always a way back. David is living proof of that. There's always a way back to God, no matter what you've gone through, what's going on in your life. We see this with David. We could see it in our life. And we can also see the tension that goes on in our world and in our life. There's this struggle. Even the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans chapter 7 talked about the struggle. I don't do what I want to do. I do what I don't want to do. And he was pretty, you know, pretty up there with his godliness, with his holiness to God. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, as he said. But we see this back and forth between doing good and messing up and sinning, and we can connect with it. I can connect with it. I pray you can connect with it. This life is a struggle. And even as David struggled, he magnifies the Lord. He even prophesies. May God use you and I, even in the midst of our lives and our frailties and our struggles, to do great things for God, maybe even prophesy for God, to be vessels for the Messiah, to lift up the name of Yeshua, and to be an example for other people to come in. That's what we all hope and we pray we can be. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you because you are our great example. Lord, Psalm 69 is a great reminder that it's not always all good and always all bad. And some days, there's going to be some really great things, Lord, that we do for your kingdom. And some days it's going to be like, oh boy, how do we get back to you? But Lord, in the mountaintops and in the valleys, I pray that you're with each and every one of us. I pray for people struggling with any type of situation, whether it's a major illness or finances or just family situation or just life, friendships. I pray for those that are just going through something like what David was going through in Psalm 69. May we remember that even in those times, God can still speak to us, use us. We could still be your mouthpiece, Lord. We can still work for your kingdom. And I pray that we all can individually and collectively as a community here work for your kingdom, the kingdom of God. We praise you, Lord God. We thank you for not giving up on us, Lord. We thank you for not just leaving us to our own devices, but pursuing us with that love that you have for us, each and every one of us. So we thank you, God, for this psalm. We thank you for your word. We thank you for you, and we praise you and give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen.